Turn to your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 to 10, and then also Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. I'll be reading in the King James Version and going to other versions as well tonight. So tonight I want to talk to you about increase. And increase and how to harvest. How to harvest. Praise God. So I got a couple of messages I've been working on. You remember what we talked about Sunday? It was a good service on Sunday. How many people, experienced something on Sunday? We talked about the priceless inheritance we have in Christ. We talked about we're doing a study on being in Christ, being in Him, and the results of being in Him. We talked about some of the 140 scriptures in the New Testament that tell us who we are, what we have, and what we can do. It was a tremendous impacting service, I believe. For Sunday morning was tremendous. I just can sense that the power of God, the Word of God went out in such a nice fashion. And the Sunday before, we talked about understanding our place in Christ. And so we need to have some understanding. So we'll be doing some studies along the line again about who we are, what we have, what we can do. We need to know our identity. We need to know what belongs to us. We need to know what we can do, supernatural ability of God working in our lives. But tonight I felt impressed by the Lord to talk about how to harvest. And let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 to 10. We're reading from the King James Version. The Bible says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate." Now that word communicate means to give. Everybody say give. It says, "To communicate unto him that teaches in all good things." He's talking about when you're receiving instruction and teaching in the Word of God, maybe it's your pastor or evangelist or somebody who's teaching you. This is the kind of context it's talking about. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth." Notice it says whatsoever. Everyone say whatsoever. What does whatsoever mean? It means whatever, anything, whatever you're doing. So whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Remember in Luke 6:38, it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." Give, Luke 6:38, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." It shall be given unto you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Give, and it shall be given unto you. It is whatever you're giving. It shall be given unto you. And so, we'll carry on with this verse of Scripture here. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." The word "shall" is a strong assertion in the Bible. That means this is a finality. This is the result. It says here, "shall also reap." We'll carry on. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." That's talking about obeying your unnatural side of your impulses, the stuff that could lead you astray. It says here, "But he that soweth to his spirit shall of the spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not be weary in well-doing." Because sometimes people can get tired of doing some good things. "Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season," everybody said due season, "we shall reap." Apparently, some people who have given up on giving or sowing, they're feeling like they are going to quit. So let's not faint. "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." Let's talk about the kingdom of God and the church and so on. Let's do good. Let us help each other out. Let's not tear each other down. Let's say good things about each other. Let's give to each other. Let's do something good for each other. Go to Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. I want you to notice here a principle. The principle of harvesting. The principle of reaping. While the earth remaineth, the King James says, seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest. There's a time to sow. There's also a time to reap. We read in the New Testament, Galatians 6, it says, he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, to the spirit shall reap everlasting life. God is not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I gave you a scripture which Jesus said in Luke 6, 38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, Jesus said that. Genesis chapter 8, 22 says, seed time and harvest, cold and heat. We wish it was heat outside. We wish it was warm, but it's cold outside. How many of you noticed that? Some people notice it so much they didn't show up tonight. You know, it's cold. How many people know it's always going to be cold in the winter here? It's not going to be 70 degrees in January. It's always going to be cold. But let me tell you something. We will not have any hurricanes. You're not going to have earthquakes. You're not going to have tornadoes. Huh? No tsunamis. Yeah, you're not going to have a super drought, heat waves that you're going to, you know, you can't breathe. But you'll have cold. You might freeze to death. You could freeze to death. If you don't dress warm, if you broke down somewhere, you have to take precaution. So it's just saying here, cold and heat. Notice this, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. In other words, this is the process God has predetermined. Days are always going to be. You wish you'd have daylight all day. In some countries, my wife said her ancestral homeland is like dark half of the time. If you go way up north, it's always light, or is it light? Yeah. So in the summertime, it gets lighter. How many people know it's getting lighter now? Yeah, it does. Like, you know, like a month ago, it was like 40 minutes. We got, I don't know, 20, 40 minutes. We got somewhere on there. I've been watching it. So I even set up in the morning, look out to the east. But sometimes it doesn't come out because it's too cloudy. So these things will always remain. This is always going to be. So one thing we can pull out of Genesis 8:22, one thing we put out of there is seed time and harvest. Seed time and harvest will never stop. This is a principle. Whatever you sow is what you're going to reap. Even whatever you say. Now listen to me, a couple of days ago, or a few last week, I heard of a basketball player, a very famous basketball player by the name of Kobe Bryant. Anybody heard of him? One of his friends, close friends, said, I won't live to be old. I'm going to die. And he said this. This is what he believed. That's what he said. That's what's going to happen. I personally, my own sister, she said to me, I'm never going to live to be, I'm going to die. And so she died at 42 years of age. And so you have to watch what you say, because you're sowing that. What you say is what you get. Mark 11, 23, Jesus said, whatever you say is what you're going to have. So you're sowing words. Words are just not empty things. They you know, if you say something long enough, you begin to believe it in your heart. And when you say something, when you believe it, it comes to pass. Now, there is a time of exercising where you're schooling yourself in the faith and you're not believing it yet. You say something, you don't believe it, but you say it over a period of time and then you start believing it. Then you say it because you believe it. So don't say things that just because you say something once or half a dozen times and you know you've said it, doesn't mean it's going to happen right away. You have to believe something. You have to believe something, and if you say it, that's going to happen. Some people believe something. Oh, this one happened to me. They'll say things like, nothing good happens to me. And so that's what happens. They have nothing good happening. So we have to learn how to speak right. And so that's a lesson that we can learn also tonight from that, from harvesting. You're harvesting your words. So what is the purpose tonight of our learning, of our lesson tonight? This is the idea I'm going to give you tonight. You can't expect a harvest where you have never planted. You can't expect a harvest where or when you've never planted. So that's seed time and harvest will never cease. If you never participated in seed time of whatever it is you want to produce, you are never going to harvest something you never participated in. That is a law that God has predetermined that we need to partake of. If we don't want bad things to happen, stop sowing to your flesh. Stop flowing to. I told something Sunday morning, and somebody picked it up. They said sometimes your body hijacks your life, especially if you're in addictions. Your physical body absolutely hijacks your life to the point where you can't seem to get out of addictions. It takes over your thinking. It consumes your life every day. Your body is physically addicted to something. Your body is the boss. You have to go and do something, even if you have to sell yourself. Your body pushes you out there to do something illegal or immoral, whatever it is. Steal, kill, sell. And it consumes you and it takes over your life. So if you don't get into the spirit, they tell us in AA, if you ever went to AA in the natural, I'm talking about natural, there's a natural and spiritual there as well. There's a spiritual concept they have. They tell you, if you don't get spiritual, you'll never recover. They say AA is a spiritual lifestyle. You have to find God. You have to find something spiritual. At least believe that there is a God, that He's going to help you. They tell you that. And so, they're, of course, people who go to AA, lots of them are atheists or, is it atheists, agnostics. They believe that there might be a God, but they don't know. There's hardly anybody that actually is an atheist. They believe in something. But anyways, we're not going there. We just want to say that, you know, we'll go back to harvesting here. Now, those are things to think about. When a farmer goes out to his fields after working all summer, doing his sowing, whatever he's doing to produce with his seed. When he goes out there, he went there all summer, and he can't expect at the end of the summer to reap a harvest. Whatever he's planted, he can expect to get from that, from the land of what he planted. A farmer who's not planted anything in his field can't expect a harvest. He cannot say, I wonder why my fields are not producing anything this year. He can't expect any more than if you and I went to the bank and say, I wonder why I don't have any money in the bank if you didn't put any money in the bank. You cannot expect investments if you never invested in anything. If you say, I wonder why I don't have any investments. It's just as stupid as if a farmer would go out to a field and say, I wonder why I don't have any corn this year. They say, well, did you plant it? Well, no, I didn't plant anything. And if you would say it to yourself right now, if you've never participated in some kind of longevity of sowing and reaping in the church and you've given, I'm talking about giving in faith, not because the pastor said to do it or forced you into tithing and giving offerings by putting fear into you. Tithing and offering doesn't work by putting fear into people, giving money because you're afraid of God. That's not how it works. You do it because you're afraid that you might not make it on your own. That might be a natural fear. But you're giving because you want to obey God and you love God. And you're obeying God by faith. You know, years ago, I was, 24 years old. I went to live in Kenora. And I had my first job. And I had a lot of debt. I talked to someone today. Yesterday, they said they had some over $50,000+ to pay back, because they went to school for a very long time. That's a lot of money to owe. And people owe a lot of money. So I went to school, and I was in Kenora. It was my first job. And I had to go to court because I was taken to court because I owed a lot of money because of my past was catching up to me. Finally, they're figuring out this guy who owed us a lot of money, finally he's graduated, he's got a job. So everybody wants their money right now before the other guy. So I was taken to court. And for some reason, I was going to church there, went to this church, and I heard a Pentecostal pastor there. He said, you read Malachi? He said, Malachi, what's it, 3:10? Is that what it is? Malachi, what does it say there? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house, says the Lord, and prove me now, hear what it says, if I'll not open that window to heaven, pour out a blessing, that'd be not enough room to receive it. So I said, God's word says to tithe. I didn't look for reasons not to. I didn't find, like some people, they try to find reasons to disprove that. So I found every reason to do it. Let me tell you something. I'm 24 years old. I'm full of debt. I got on my knees in my apartment. I knelt down and said, God, the pastor at the church says, this is the Bible. This is what God wants me to do. I lift my hands and said, God, I'm going to start tithing. And if they take me to the court and the judge says, why haven't you given? I said, well, I'm giving some money here. I'm tithing. I believe that this is the Bible. If you want to put me to jail because of it, but I believe this is what I'm supposed to do, and I'm going to give the rest, whatever I got. That's what I decided that. I was 24 years old. Within 3 to 4 weeks, I had thousands of dollars in my hands to pay off every debt I had. That's a miracle. People say, well, I wish that happened to me. No, you have to, by faith, do it. You have to, by faith, say, God, I believe this is your word. I believe they're going to have to throw me in jail to not obey your word. To that day, I have not stopped tithing, not stopped giving. And my harvest, like you, depends on what you do. Your harvesting doesn't depend on God. It depends on you. Just as much as a farmer harvests his fields. God doesn't send angels out there to the farmer and say, okay, you planted it, well, just take care of the rest. They have to do something themselves. How many people know, if you have a partner and you love them, if you don't show them affection, you don't show them love, you don't sow love, It's going to be hard for you to survive in a marriage if it's just one-sided. Ask this man over here. He'll tell you. Ask this woman. She'll tell you. If you don't help each other, if you don't, you know, like when I was younger in my marriage, I used to think it was all about me. I found out my wife put me in a place pretty good. With the Lord's help, never to treat or disrespect my wife. One time I was with somebody and they said, why would you disrespect your wife like that? It embarrassed me the way I acted and how I was as a man, as a person. Some of you don't know what it is until you marry somebody and realize how selfish you are until you live with somebody. How self-centered you are until you have to share your life with somebody. Okay, we'll move on to the next one. Okay. This is marriage counseling time. I find it really hard sometimes with single people because they need to know some things. You learn some things from your partner. Your partner will learn you some things. Okay. So, what you sow is what you're going to reap. See, we're losing one person already. Okay, she's coming back. So there's a law of sowing and reaping. Everybody say, there's a law of sowing and reaping. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't say, I don't believe in it. If you don't believe in it, it happens anyway. Not sowing is going to work whether you believe it or not. Or whatever you're sowing in a bad way, it's going to work or not, whether you believe it or not, it's going to work. So you will reap whatever you sow. A harvest is coming, whether you've sown good seed or bad seed. A harvest is coming, whether you sowed small seed or big seeds. Everything in life operates on that principle. God made it that way. Notice what it says in Genesis 8:22 again. The Word of God says, this law will always be in motion as long as the earth exists. It will never end as long as the world exists. God set this law. Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. In other words, this will not stop. You cannot stop it. You cannot change it just because you believe or wouldn't believe. It's going to happen. As long as the Good News Bible, the Good News Bible says this. This is how it says it. As long as the world exists, there will be a time for planting and a time for harvest. There will always be cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. Some people laugh at us, what we call word faith people, when we teach about sowing and reaping. But it's the truth. If you believe it or not, everything in life works that way. From plants to animals, they grow that way. Seeds, everything is a seed. Not only plants are reproduced by seed, animals do the same thing. They have to engage in producing the seed, and it will grow. Every one of you was a seed. You were a seed. Your mom and dad got together. Now here you're here. You didn't just appeared. There was a process there that something happened. You know, when families back before, they wouldn't talk about that, about sex with their kids, you know. They just say, well, you know, you were a little pod one time, and whatever, you know. I remember my parents, my dad, my mom says, you know, there's going to be a stork coming. They're going to bring the baby. Remember the stork story? I finally figured it out. Yeah, so here goes Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed. Who said it? God said it. And fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. One kind of, you can't say, well, I want to give some jackets here and I want to believe God for money. You're going to have some jackets. That's true. So I'm going to give this, you know, sometimes people bring you some object, you know, I'm going to sow this thing, you know. They say, no, whatever you plant, sow, you're going to get a bunch of junk. Sometimes people put a, you know, like a, I don't know what they put in a offering. I said, what is this? I don't know. We can't find out what it is. It's a bunch of junk. We can't use that. So if that's you, we don't want those. Well, maybe, you know, sometimes people give. It's not worth much money to give a little ring, you know. We try it on. Right? Anybody here, try it on. You try it on. You try it on. The staff didn't work. Can't fit it. What are we going to do with it? I don't know. Well, leave it till there until somebody wears it, picks it up. So we can't use it. The bank doesn't want it. But sometimes people do because they have to just give, right? So you give something. Well, they're learning to give. Anyway, that's the practice. They learn how to give. So notice that. It says at the end, upon the earth, and it was so. The earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after his kind. You know, if one of your ladies went to the hospital and you had a baby, say for instance you're a white lady, and the baby popped out, it's black. You say, there's something wrong here. I'm serious. It says right in the Bible, you produce after your kind. So let's not think stupid, because you're not going to get any money if you just sew your hat all the time. Here's a hat. I'm giving you a hat. I'm believing God for money. No, sew your money, whatever. Take a dime or borrow a dime. You say, give me a dime. I always tell people, start something. Start somewhere. You must have some kind of dime. Let me think about it, too. The Bible says that God will give you seed. 2 Corinthians 10, I believe it's verse 9 or 10 somewhere. God gives seed to the sower. That's verse 10, I think it is. God gives seed to the sower. Is that on here? Oh, that's you got, you're still in Genesis. What kind of a, are you slow or what? Fast. He's fast. Okay, he's going to quit on me. Okay, anyway. Everything produces after its kind. So everybody say, everything produces after its kind. So, you know, they say, you know, in leadership, leaders produce leaders. If you're a leader, if you hang around a leader, you become a leader. You become like the people you hang around with. A leader will produce leaders around them. Did you find that, or you're going to just move on? Okay, so that was just an extra thing. That was just an extra thing. Now, he that ministered seed to the sower, who is talking about? He's talking about God. God ministered seed to the sower. In other words, he'll give you seed. You could believe God for seed, and he'll give you seed. And then you sow seed. A lot of times I would, you know, there's many times I took money in my pocket and I'd give somebody $100. Sometimes people come by here and give me $100. You said, I wish that happened to me. It doesn't work by wishing. I'm serious. It doesn't work by wishing. I wish somebody would give me $100. Have you ever given someone $100 or $1,000? Like somebody gave me $1,000 last month. Here's $1,000. Well, I've sown thousands of dollars. Just give $1,000. And so that's the way it works. I didn't say I'm going to give shoes and I'm believing God for $1,000, I'm giving shoes. Come on now. A seed produces after itself. That's what we're trying to say. Like, you can't go around being mean to people and expect everybody else to be nice to you. So I wonder why everybody's mean to me. Well, how have you been acting? Well, I probably wasn't acting very nice. Well, maybe that's what you've been sowing. I remember, this is what I used to do. When I first got into ministry, I was attacked a whole lot because of who I am and what the people thought I should be like and, you know, different things. And then I had a chip on my shoulder and I was like sensitive, hypersensitive about what people would think or feel about me. After a while, you grow up, you don't care. You can't care because you'd be going crazy. And so, you know, you begin to just not pay attention to that. And, people are talking about me. The Lord had to deal with me about talking to, about other people, about other ministers, other pastors. And I got it straight after. I said, you know what? I'm not sowing any of this seed anymore. And I haven't. I don't worry about whatever people, never worry about what other people talk to me, ever worry about it. No. I go to bed that night thinking about what they think about me. If it does come to me, I said, it don't matter. I don't talk about people. I don't run them down. I don't run ministries down. If somebody comes here and they start talking about other ministries, I don't do that. If you're in a group somewhere and you're talking about how other churches are and how other ministers are, you're in the wrong. And it's going to come back to you. Judging people and doing all that stuff. Just, you know, hey, just let it alone. We're talking about sowing and reaping. We've got 3 more minutes. Go to John 12, verse 24. Everything produces after its own kind. John 12, 24. Jesus said this. How many people know that Jesus died? He was the first one who rose from the dead. Naturally and spiritually. He had to die spiritually, become sin for us, go to hell for us. On the third day, he rose up physically. He rose spiritually and came back to his body and rose physically. Came out of it, walked out of there with his grave clothes. Apparently, he got up and his grave clothes was there. He came. He was the first one. The Bible says, because he did that, he was born again. Or, you know, you could say that, you know, you could get in trouble saying that because Jesus was the first born from the dead, the Bible says. See, he was the first one born again. He had to be sin for us on the cross in order to pay the penalty. He became us. He became what we are, and he went down for us, for all of us. And the Holy Spirit had to go and get him in hell, raise him back up in the mind of God. When he rose from the dead, if you accept Jesus, you rose from the dead. That's what we talked about that Sunday. That's called identification. We identify with Jesus. Jesus identified with you because he became what you are on the cross. And Jesus laid the penalty of sin on him so that we wouldn't take it. We wouldn't have to suffer. If there's people who say, well, I have to suffer. My mom used to say this because she was brought up in that tradition, church tradition. Oh, I got to suffer for my sins. I'm suffering because, you know, I'm suffering for my sins. So they have this teaching that you have to suffer for your sins. There's no such thing as that in the Bible, that you suffer for your sins. Jesus paid it all. So that you don't have to go to hell. There's a real hell, right? I gave somebody, a pastor who had the experience after church. He went home one day. And he, after a prayer meeting, he went home. And he got up 3 o'clock in the morning to drink some water. And he went out, he went into hell. He had a thing. God took him there, and he went there, and he saw what it was like. He felt what it was like. He suddenly forgot he was born again, but the Lord gave him such a tremendous experience. He went there to find out what it's like, and he's out preaching about it. And he gave scripture after scripture. It was such a sound teaching. I heard a lot of stories about hell, of people going there, but not like this person. Scripture after scripture. Some people tell all kinds of crazy stories about that place. But you can't believe everybody unless you show scripture after scripture of this whole story. Jesus talked about it. And so thank God. But we don't have to go there. Because Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Now, you don't have to get scared. People like, you know, I'm looking at you. Some of you like you're frightened. I realize it's scary, but you don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. If Jesus is your Lord, if you don't know that, you can have Jesus in your heart today and not be afraid of it and go to heaven and miss hell and get to heaven. Some people say, they scare me as hell. No, you know, we want to let you know that Jesus did it for you. And there is a hell. Jesus talked about it. People say, well, don't, you're frightening me. Well, you ought to be frightened. Because if you're not frightened of it, you're going to live the way you're living. It's very serious trouble here. I'm going to have to help you get back out of this feeling right now. Okay, you should talk about it. I should talk about it because people, they kind of pretend it doesn't exist. It exists. That's why we live the way, that's why I live the way I'm living, because I don't want to ever go there. I can't just do whatever I want to do because I'm a Christian. You know, you can just reject God and get out of, say, I'm not going to work with God. I know people who walk away from the Christian life, and they just live normal lives, like there's no heaven, there's no Christian life. They just live like, you know, I'm going to go to work and get a job and go on a trip to China. There's more to life than taking a trip to China and buying a Skidoo. Amen? There is. And that's why we're doing this right now. So that people out there are not going to go where we want them to go, where you and I are, don't want to talk about. You get kind of crazy to talk about this stuff. Anyway, people do. Brother Hagin went to hell. I mean, I believe him because he said he did. He went there. He said he's falling down this chasm and he couldn't stop. He said, I'm a Christian. I'm baptized in water. He kept going down and down and down and down. When he got there, he's in this dark place. It was hot. It gets quiet. He said, dark, so dark, like the Bible says, you can touch the darkness. So darkness. It is, how dark it is. And he says, when he at the gates, there was a big spirit looking, gorilla looking beast grab him. He said he tried to fight back, but he couldn't. Just took him in. And he's going. And he heard a voice way up there yelling before he could take him through this thing. Door. He went back up like in a chute. He's going back up again, flying as fast as he can. It's like going through a plane going up, you know. And he popped right back up and come back to his body. And he could hear himself praying on the bed. He's coming in. He could hear his body praying, Jesus, save me. Confessing Jesus. And he did that a few more times, and then he knew. He says, "I'm not going to die now." He changed from death from darkness to light, death to life, in a moment of time. When I got born again, I definitely knew the difference between life and death. When I got born again, I knew exactly that I was born again. I knew what light was into darkness. When I got born again, light came on. That's why I tell you guys, it was so wonderful outside. Everybody was wonderful. Where were you all before that? That's how it was. What happened? I'm so happy. And everybody looking at me. What's wrong with him? I'm so happy. And I would cry. I would cry and cry and look at the Bible. Exactly, that's exactly the way it was. I go home and read Matthew, look at John. I couldn't read a phrase without crying. I go to this, I cry again. Close the Bible again, cry again. Why? I didn't understand it. I was so happy that I'm saved. I didn't care if you're old or if you're a white person. I would fellowship with you if you're a Christian and worship with you. I didn't look for a native church. I want a native church. I want young people to be with. No, I wanted people. I love people. And Brother Hagin taught us the very first thing that you, when you're born again, the very first sign is that you love people. That's the first thing I knew. I just love people. I love it. Sometimes I embarrass myself because I want to hug everybody. But I'm scared. And I just loved everybody. And not everybody, they start getting scared of you. See, you're coming down the street because you're so happy and you want to hug people. You better stay away from them. They said that Romo, he's really crazy. He was an A, but now he got this religion thing. He's crazy. People could not believe it. I met people that I was in college. They said, Romo, I can't really believe it. Is that really you? You're a pastor now. I said, I sure am. Come here. Give me a hug. Amen. Everybody stand up. This is getting too crazy. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Praise God. Did you tell everybody what happened? Does everybody know what's happening to you guys? No. You don't want everybody to, you don't want them to know? Save it for later?
He put it on Facebook.
Yeah, he put it on Facebook. It's public knowledge, so I couldn't say it. This girl has a seed in her. No, that baby, she's going to have a baby. Woo! And it's going to be a girl. Is it going to be a girl? Okay. She's hoping for a girl. Not one of those Timmies. We cannot stand any more Timmies. Okay. So it's another year of me smelling these babies in the office. So anyway, I've been a daycare provider for like how many years now? Yeah. So praise God. Anyway, okay. You guys just having one too? No? Hallelujah. Well, if you want, Ernie, Viola, not a chance. Not a chance. He's believing. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Father, thank you so much for this time of celebration of your word, that whatever a man sows, that will he reap. And we thank you that as we look to these other scriptures, that we can begin to see that seed time and harvest will not stop. So we thank you. And Lord, we're going to ask you for forgiveness of anything that we've been sown as bad seed, behaviors and words that's been wrong. So forgive us. In the name of Jesus, and we forgive any words that's spoken against us as bad seeds, words planted in our lives. We ask you to forgive them, Lord. We thank you for this. We hold no grudges, no resentments, no strife against anybody. We thank you in the name of Jesus for forgiveness of sins. And we thank you, Lord, for the seeds of financial sowing as people have given. And we're going to believe, we're going to see in the next while how to harvest a great harvest. We give you praise tonight. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Praise God. All right, praise God. Amen. Let's pray for this. Everybody stretch your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray the power of God will go into this cloth. This prayer cloth. In the name of Jesus. We thank you by faith. We believe that the transfer of anointing shall be. That when it's applied to the body and of the person, it'll drive out anything the enemy has placed as a bad seed to destroy anything that would cause any harm.